You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome one and welcome all. Welcome to the flies upon the wall. Yes, I must tell you again, I haven't spoke this on this show, I will no longer be posting my shows on eurofolkradio.com. You'll have to go to BitChute and look for The Narrow Road. That's the name of my channel. The Narrow Road gives you a YouTube-like experience. And you can subscribe to my channel, of course. And you'll be able to, I don't know if they have a way yet. I'm looking for a way that you can be notified when the shows post. But there'll be new things coming, folks. Don't worry. You can also go to my archives on davidjamesboston.com for all of the shows. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do that there as well, or read my blog or hear my music. And the drives are still available. If you want a couple of seasons of Saxon's Creed on a drive, get in touch with me at davidjamesboston@gmail.com. All right, enough with the formalities here. Let's begin. The man of the world is much different than the man of the Father or of the kingdom. I've been thinking on this subject for a while, but not really in heavy detail, just about the subject itself. It's amazing that the man of the world is a playboy. He's a killer, a race mixer, a liar, a pretender. He's very interested in money and will devote his whole life to it and the acquisition of it. He's hedonistic and loves the pleasures of sex and drugs and rock and roll, so to speak. Feelings, you see. Feelings is what it's, the whole world is all about, feelings. Sex is a feeling. You come to a climax, and that's the climax of, it's something you built up to. This feeling only lasts for very little time. But it seems to be important to all of us, doesn't it? And the man of the world likes climaxes in chaos and war and anger and danger. Did you realize that all of your heroes practically are hybrids? I've mentioned it before. You do realize that Batman is half bat and half man, right? In the sense, okay, I know Bruce Wayne is supposed to be a human being, but when you look at Spider-Man, there's been some kind of a chemical reaction that caused such a thing. Spider-Man is half spider, half man. You know, it doesn't matter which one of these, Aquaman or any of these different Iron Man, you see? He's made of iron and clay. The Sphinx is in hybrid. The world is full of hybrids. It's come to the point where the man of the world is now androgynous as well. And of course, hybrids are promoted You know The Rock, the one they call The Rock? He's a hybrid. You never thought of that, did you? Yes, the world's a-changing. But is it changing for the better? Has it ever changed for the better? I can answer that. The man of the Father is a very different thing. He's pure. He's not corrupt like an hybrid is. The man of the Father has integrity, whereas the man of the world lives by the precept. The ends justify the means. And to be a race mixer and to be an adulterer, et cetera, like James Bond, is an exact example of the man of the world. Yes, he's a race mixer. Yes, the ends justify the means. He's also licensed to kill. He's a killer. Even though it says, thou shalt not murder, he will murder. He's licensed to murder. He's a traveler. He goes out with all the races. He race mixes with all the races of the world. He has no problem with that. To be in the CIA or the FBI or any of these organizations, you have to be a practicing liar. The man of the world has no problem with being a practicing liar. If it gets you in that woman's pants, that's all that counts. The ends justify the means, literally. But the man of the Father has integrity. He lives by the golden rule. When the Father says, thou shalt not kill, he does not kill, unless somebody's trying to kill him. Unless it's justified, that is what I mean. The man of the Father is humble, whereas the man of the world is of a very high mind, you know, very lofty, you know, egotistical. Mr. T-Rump is a great example. It's funny how Mr. T-Rump wants everything to be perfect. You go in his plane, there can't be a scratch or a dot or anything. But look at him. Does he look perfect to you? How about his hairline? Is it superstar? Is it perfect? Nah. The imperfect expects perfection. The man of the Father doesn't care about how much wealth is accumulated. The man of the world says, he who dies with the most toys wins. And I always say, well, wins what? Because you can't take the toys with you, so what did you win? A place in hell? It's very interesting, the contrast of what I'm discussing. The man of the world demands you to show him the proof. The man of Yahweh has faith. Let me tell you, as I'm out on the tiles, and I described what that meant on the show I did this morning, it was Fireside Chat number 42. Don't miss it. It was quite an interesting show on media-driven law. The man of the world does not trust anybody. the man of Yahweh trusts in Yahweh and will trust in his brothers as long as they give him a reason to trust in them, or until they give a reason not to trust him. The man of the world seeks all the delicacies of Babylon. The man of Yahweh is told to come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her sins and her judgment. The man of the world is not as strong as he'd like to appear to be. But he's perceived to be very, very strong. Whereas the man of faith, or the man of Yahweh, they look at him and say, well, he's merciful, so he's weak. These are misconstruences, if that's a word. These things are misconstrued, misjudged. The man of the world delights in evil. The man of the Father detests it. It's a conundrum, is it not? The man of the world will sell his soul to sing a song to the world. The man of the Father will not sell their soul at all. Their soul belongs to their Father, Yahweh in heaven. We came from him and we shall return to him. As the men of the world who are the children of the flame will return to the flame. They tell you this themselves. It's not like I'm making something up or anything. They say we came from the flame. We shall return to the flame. The man of the kingdom has good fruits and leaves things better than when they found them. Could you say the same of James Bond? Everything he comes in contact with and he leaves is destruction. But yet, I like those movies, I understand. But do you see them as they really are? Is the world hero really a hero? I mean, for instance, Einstein, we know he's a fraud, right? Not only that, but he looks like a mental case, right? So they made this image for the world of a scientist. That a scientist is somebody with wild hair, wears women's shoes, oh boy, and Einstein is like a man of the world. He stole the information. He worked in the patent office. He didn't come up with these things himself. This is a filthy, dirty, rotten Jew who perpetrated a fraud upon the whole world. And his filthy, dirty Jew cohorts still perpetrate this lie today. They've stolen our books. They've stolen our art. They've stolen our music. They've stolen our ideas, our inventions, everything. To be a man of the Father, you love to be in peace. But the man of the world is at war constantly. Not only does he love to kill, but he takes pleasure in the suffering of others. The man of the world will persecute the man of the Father, of the Father's kingdom. The man of the kingdom will show integrity, will not lie to you. I mean, if they're really of the kingdom. A lot of people think they're of the kingdom. They do. They're as blind as could be. They think they can see. They think they're awake, but they can't see. Because if they could, they wouldn't be doing the things they were doing, you see. It's a strange world we're living in. It's volatile. It can break at any moment. It can come crashing down at any moment. The man of the kingdom endures. He has the attributes of his Father. The man of the world has been programmed and has the attributes of the devil. The lust for war, destruction, killing, race mixing, corruption. It's just corruption. Race mixing is corruption. The man of the kingdom seeks to keep his bloodline pure as his forefathers had done and as the Father in heaven wills. The man of the world twists words and uses them as weapons against you. The man of the kingdom straightens those words back out and uses them as a weapon against the men of the world. Who really is in control here? It's strange when you see the contrasts of these two, and the world glorifies the man of the world and denigrates the man of the kingdom. The world detests good and moral and righteous men. The world detests the Father in heaven. It is firmly against him, as it said that Nimrod was against Yahweh. You know the term I don't use there. It means his face was against him. His will was against him. His desires were against him. His very core is against the Father in heaven. The only question I would say is that, I would ask is that, why would you want to be on the side of the all-time loser, the devil? You know that the Father is a total winner. The Jethro Tull song called him locomotive breath. And the all-time winner. And he called the devil the all-time loser. And that's really the truth. Look, locomotive breath doesn't mean you have bad breath or something like that. It means that the power was in his speaking. Locomotive breath. Maybe a strange way of looking at something, but that's what it is. Why? It says that he's got the all-time loser by the, let me put it this way, testicles. And he does. Why would you... People's tendencies are to go with the winner. Isn't that true? Pink Floyd talks about that we need to isolate the winner. Speaking that, not that we should, but that's what's done. The winner is isolated in this world. They're above everybody else. They're held in higher esteem, so to speak, and on and on. And they should be isolated from the losers. It's very interesting. Why would you pick the side of the all-time loser and go with his children and go against the winner that you know is the winner that can do nothing else but win? Do you just have a penchant for the underdog? Are you a gambling man? Would you like to fight Armageddon against the Father and see if you can win? Don't you know that this devil already has lost? Oh, it looks like he's winning something here, but he's not winning anything. He's just part of the test. He's a useful tool for the moment. There'll be no purpose for him in a while. You say, well, Dave, when will that be? Oh, let me give you a date right now. No, I don't know when it'll be. But if somebody tells you they do know when it will be wary. People don't like people like me because I'm sound in mind. I'm firm in what I believe. I'm standing on the rock. Though the wind can shake my tree, I just enjoy its caress rather than go into duress. Duress, you know? In other words, basically, the storm rages even at this moment. But let the storm rage as much as it wants. Let the devil jump up and down and stamp his feet on the ground, scream, holler, accuse. I just stand on the rock. And like the eagle on the pole, I've been kicked off the pole now. So now I'm on another pole. And I don't have to watch anymore. But I'm watching other things now. I watched, I observed, I found, I released. I released into the hands of the Father the results of the watching. You know, I can't help but to be curious. And you'll say, well, Curiosity killed the cat. You don't understand. I've been trained to seek the truth. I haven't been trained to sit back and in the pew and let somebody preach any lie to me that they wish or any kind of devil's doctrine that they wish. I've sought the truth so that I could recognize if somebody was preaching a devil's doctrine to me or whatever. Remember, there's gifts of the Spirit, and the world would mock those things and imitate those things. But discerning of spirits is given to many of our people, and somehow we have been, I have been since I was a child. You've heard me tell the stories about being in the Catholic Church and seeing the statues and seeing the priest pray, do his sermon in Latin. As a child, I knew this was wrong, and I was creeped out by these statues. The Father said, make no image. So then don't make that image. You know, I don't think that includes, you know, images that you take in a photograph or something like that. But when you're making statues and you're claiming that there's somebody, or you're making pictures of Jesus when you don't know what he looked like, this is not a good thing. This is unhealthy. People don't like those gifts in other people because they can't get away with the things that they would get away with normally with people that don't have those gifts. I've spoken to other brothers and sisters, and they have the same gifts. People know, you know, I don't know why men think that they can put one over on you. I guess it's because the Jews put one over on the whole world, right? So they figure, well, if the Jews can put one over on you, well, surely I can too. But being a man of the kingdom, you wouldn't want to put one over on somebody. I'm not looking to put one over on anybody. But I'm certainly not looking for somebody to put one over on me either. It's a wild world. It's wild. It's out of control. That's another thing. The man of the world is out of control. The man of the kingdom keeps his vessel and controls his vessel. If everybody went by their feelings like Cain did, like these black beasts of the field do, like these liberals do and Jews do, don't you see what happens when you try to talk to them about the truth? They lose control of their vessel, don't they? Cain was warned not to kill Abel. He said, Abel told him, he said, the Father will see this. He's watching. And though Abel was warned, I mean, Cain was warned over and over that the Father was watching, Cain just lost control of his vehicle. He just lost control of his vessel, I should say, because he was corrupt anyway. And if you are a half-breed, you have already lost control of your vessel. That's why they are so emotional, these people. They don't know who they belong to. They don't know where they came from. They don't know why they exist as they do. They're corrupt. They're not whole. this can do a lot of damage to their minds. It can confuse them. Because corruption leads to chaos, and chaos leads to judgment, as I've told you. See, confusion is chaos. And the devil is the author of confusion, the author of chaos. His children, the Jews, are the authors of corruption. And it all stems from the devil, for he was corrupt. And he's their father. How can they do anything else? I won't make an excuse for them, but this is their purpose. They are a disease on the world. They are a detriment. They're of no value whatsoever except to cause corruption. Steal, rob, and kill. What did their father say? The father says to him, Where have you been? He says, I'm walking to and fro upon the earth, seeking to whom I may devour. And that's exactly what his children are doing. They're walking to and fro on the earth, seeking to whom they may devour. They love blood. They like to drink blood. They love to eat flesh. They are vampires. They must subsist off the blood of the Adamic man. Do the words reach you? Do they penetrate into your mind? And do you say to yourself, I can see it. I know what he's saying. Remember how I told you that many people think they understand, but they are not understanding. They just think they're awake. They may be more awake than some. But even, you know, I would say in myself, I can't imagine that I'm totally, totally awake. I must be getting fooled on something. But what I'm talking about, I would say I must be more awake than many. But I told you there was a time when I would read things and would not have an understanding of them necessarily. But now when I read things, I can understand things much, much better. I think a lot of people read books, but they don't understand what they're reading. They're not perceiving. See, how I show you that I understand these things is I break it down for you, and I explain it to you. See, we're not just reading words off a page that somebody wrote. We're actually thinking about these words and deciphering what's being said. It's like when I reverse engineer looking how we got to where we're at, and you look at these old shows back in black and white, and you see how long they've been, the media has been driving this stuff into your mind. I was talking about this today, like I'm saying, media-driven. I was talking about media-driven law, but so much more is driven from the media into your soul, into your mind, into your thought patterns. Remember, if you can control people's words, you can control their thoughts. I do think that's a true statement. I leave that to your judgment to decide whether you, if you believe that's true. The things the man of the world cares about, which often is money and how much money and how many toys and how many women he scored and all these different type of things. The man of Yahweh cares nothing about any of these things. we only care about money to the point as you have to have it to live in this filthy, dirty, rotten world. But we don't love it. And I certainly don't want to spend my life living for the dollar bill, which is a fake thing in the first place. It's false weights and measures. Your money's not safe in the bank. Your money's not safe anywhere. Especially in the hands of the Jew, it's not safe. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. You know, it's like the Father made the world the way it is so that you wouldn't love it. The Jew makes the world unlivable. The Jew makes the world, you know, like I said, Yeshua said, the poor you will have with you always. And I explained that to you. You know, when he said it, I'm saying, I don't know what the reason is, but now I do. The reason why the poor will be with you always is because the Jew will be with you always until the time of the kingdom. That's why. And because of the greed of the world, but this goes around to the Jew. The Jew likes to train us into their way of thinking, their way of living. That's why I talk about the Jewish lens. See, it's all distorted thinking. It's all wrong thinking. It's all stinking thinking, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so you don't have to be a Jew to be evil. You don't have to be a Jew to act like a Jew. But if you do act like a Jew and all that, you might as well be one. So it really doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or you're not a Jew. If you're acting like a Jew, living like a Jew, thinking like a Jew, treating others like Jews treat us, trying to help genocide your own people, trying to destroy and divide, then you're a Jew. Trying to drink somebody's blood, crazy world. Thank the Father that his kingdom lives in us. A portion of the kingdom lives within us at this point. Or else we would not be able to endure this test. We wouldn't be able to stomach it, let's say, even. You know, like, it's just, you sigh every day. A man sighs in disgust over what he sees in the world. The man of the world doesn't bother him at all because the man of the world is very selfish. He's not really interested in the sufferings of others. He's more interested in him and what he can get and everything about his little world. And this goes for women too. The man of the kingdom thinks about his brothers. Oh, he thinks about himself too. But he thinks of his Father. He thinks of the kingdom. He thinks of the hope that he has. He knows that his friends, well, never mind that. He knows he can count on the Father. And the man of the world knows nothing he can count on but his own money. The man of the world is standing on quicksand. There's nothing sure from one moment to the next. A viperous snake could come out of this quicksand and bite him to death. Or a viperous snake could come out of the quicksand and give him $1 million to shut his mouth. The man of the Father is standing on rock. The only serpent he would need to worry about is if one of the eagles took that serpent up in the air and dropped it, and it hit him on the head. See, the eagle is a serpent killer. It's just kind of, I learned that from Dr. Wesley Swift. But a man that's standing on the rock has surety. Surety from the Father. That's a term that is known in, you know, common law and things like that, legalese. The Father is a surety for us. He loves his children. Wouldn't you love your, don't you love your children? Well, he loves his children. If your children turned their backs on you, how would you feel? Well, then how would you think he would feel if his children turned their backs on him? Not too good, right? But we don't go by our feelings. The man of the world, it's all about feelings. It's all about being a gangster. It's all about having all kinds of bling bling and money and women and friends. But you know what you learn in the world is that when the bling bling goes away, and you're not as popular as you once were, all of it slips away into the quicksand. Because it was never yours in the first place. It was only there while you were a winner. The world loves the winner. But they don't love the winner in the Father. You see, they love the loser, the devil. It's a conundrum. It really is. See, the world loves a winner. They'll be your friends. And, you know, as long as you're, you know, you're on the top of the world, so to speak. But if you have some troubles in this and that, all of it seems to disappear magically. Because the world loves a winner of the world. But the world doesn't love the Father, who is the all-time winner, who you know is going to win. There's no doubt about it in my mind, and I'm sure it's not in yours either. Yet, the world picks the loser, the all-time loser, to follow. Ay, 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 ay. That is a strange thing. It really is. Have you ever thought about that? Does that ring any bells or anything? Isn't it kind of strange that that's the way it would be? If the world loves the winners, why doesn't the world pick the winner, the Father? Why? Why is that? Why is the world inclined toward evil? Seriously, why? Why is the propensity towards evil? Why wouldn't there be a propensity towards good? When one knows peace comes from goodness, You know what I mean? Okay, here's a little song from my album called The Change. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Saxon's Creed radio show, and I'm David James. And I was going through the book of Isaiah, and then I had gone into the Weishaupt thing, so I think we'll hop back over to Isaiah. Now, I believe this is where I left off. I'm on chapter 11. So if you'd like to open Isaiah chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. You know who that is? And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. Remember, John said that he saw the Holy Spirit come down and rest upon Yeshua? And that's why Yeshua said, I must go so that I can send the Comforter to you. See, the Comforter was resting upon him while he was here on this earth, and even after he was risen, until he finally went back to the Father. Then the Holy Spirit would be able to be sent to us, the Comforter. He said, I must go. Doesn't that tell you a little secret there? And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. And shall make of him quick understanding of the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. After the hearing of his ears. And with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Locomotive breath. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. In other words, the hole of the snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as waters cover the sea. You can see that's not the way it is now, though, can't you? And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the nations, Gentiles, seek. That's what it means. And his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from, oh, that's the black people. No, it isn't. And from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. Oh, that means the Haitians. And he shall, no, it doesn't. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with its mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway, an highway, for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Chapter 12. Wow, it's a short chapter. And in that day thou shalt say, Yahweh, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Yes. The bell tolls for thee. Let me read that again. And in that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Yahweh is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, Praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Did you just hear that? Make mention that his name is not hidden. Don't make mention that his name isn't to be spoken. Don't make mention that his name should be changed to Lord and God. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto Yahweh, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. This is what I'm saying. Isn't this funny, right? If this is known, all the excellent things he's done and everything, why aren't the singers, or why isn't everybody looking to the winner, the all-time winner, and wanting to be on the all-time winner's side? Cry out loud, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Chapter 13. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see. Let me ask you a question, dear listener. Can you see the burden and feel the burden of Babylon? The child touchers, the merchants, the Freemasons, the Jews, the queers, the Pope, the burden of Babylon. It's a heavy burden, isn't it? It's not a light yoke, is it? It's a heavy burden of slavery. So the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called out my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. That's where they got the idea, your highness. Right? When you called the king your highness. Highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. Yahweh of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even Yahweh, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Does this not sound like Revelations? And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man that the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of Yahweh of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee everyone into his own land. Very interesting, when the Father gets going, all these people of these other lands shall flee to their own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Neither shall there be shepherds. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Wonderful language. This is why I love the King James version of the Bible, because I love the language. I love the way things are portrayed. And it makes you think. You see, if everything was spelt out in your language completely and easily, it would not evoke more thought. It would just be too simple, so you wouldn't need to think about it. This evokes thought. It stimulates the mind matter. Isaiah chapter 14, you know what's coming here. For Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yahweh for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from thy hard and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? Yahweh hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole world is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. You see, Lucifer had instruments within him. Okay? And what it's saying here is, this is the very thing I was talking about this morning, which is blowing my mind right now, because I talked about the Wizard of Oz and I talked about this very scripture that I'm going to read right now. I talked about the fact that the world will show you the devil as this muscle-bound creature with big horns and big hoofs and everything else. But what it's saying about this devil here is, art thou become also weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, that means thy instruments, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, here's the five-point plan. I will ascend into heaven. This is the positive thinker. Lucy in the sky with diamonds. For thou hast said in thine heart, speaking of this Lucifer, this devil, Halel, I will ascend into heaven. You see, because he was kicked out of heaven. So now he says, he thinks he's going to get back into heaven. So let me make my point that I've always made, which is proof. I told you that NASA, CERN, and all these things were to get the devil off the planet so that the devil could ascend into heaven. Didn't I tell you that? Now, I didn't realize that when I just thought about what I've just seen right here. See, for the devil said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. That's the first point of his plan. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. That's his second point. He will do these things, he says, but he will not. He said, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where Yahweh is, right? And the north side of the lodge is kept dark because the light of Yahweh sits there, and they're trying to say that he's the Lord of darkness and that Lucifer is the Lord of light. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Also, he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See, he knows that he can't be the Most High, but he would be like the Most High if he could ascend into heaven and destroy the Father in Armageddon and exalt his throne above the stars of Yahweh and sit upon the mount of the congregation where Yahweh sits. He would be like the Most High. He wouldn't be the Most High, but he'd be like him if this five-point plan could be carried out. And so by pretending man could become God, he uses these men who think they can become gods to try to get this five-point plan in action. Whether it's NASA, I will ascend into heaven. See, first he has to get into heaven before he can exalt his throne above the stars of God, before he can sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, before he can ascend to, you know, he has to be able to ascend into heaven. Is that not interesting? But here's the key verse that I was referring to. It's Isaiah 14, 16, and I was talking about it. This show now links with the show I did this morning, and I did not try to do this, ladies and gentlemen. The Father just does these things. They that see thee, speaking of this devil, shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, and that openeth not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of all the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, dragged down by the stone, as it says in the Pink Floyd song. As a carcass trodden under feet, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. You see, a lot of people think that they're going to be, that by selling their souls, that their name will go down in history and they'll be renowned. They'll be remembered for the thing, like these actors or these musicians or these devils like, you know, FDR and Stalin and Mao and all these different filthy, dirty Jews. Their names will not be, these evildoers and the seed of evildoers shall not be, never be renowned, it says. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers. For they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. Is that not interesting? Prepare the slaughter for whose children? Are we talking about the devil's children here? Isn't that what it is? Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land. See, right now they're over there and they've got some land, but they will not possess it because it's not theirs. It's stolen. Nor fill the face of the world with cities. They didn't make the nations, these Jews, the children of this devil. So isn't it, I believe that's what this is saying. I could be wrong, but I really doubt it. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith Yahweh of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Father, saith Yahweh. I will also make it a possession. He's talking about Babylon. I will also make it a possession for the bittern as pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith Yahweh of hosts. And Yahweh of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart off of them, and his burden depart off their shoulders, speaking of Israel. This is the purpose. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations, all the nations. For Yahweh of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? As in the year of King Ahaz, in the year that King Ahaz died, was with this burden. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. This cockatrice. Very interesting. Howl, O gate, O city, thou whole Palestina, art dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? That Yahweh hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. Chapter 15. The burden of Moab. Because in the night, Ar of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. Because in the night, Ker of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. He has gone up to Bajith and to Dibon, the high places to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba, and all their heads shall be baldness. On all their heads shall be baldness, and every beard cut off. In their streets shall they gird themselves with sackcloth. On the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. And Heshbon shall cry, and Elilah, their voice shall be heard even unto Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out, his life shall be grievous unto him. My heart shall cry out for Moab, his fugitives shall flee unto Zoar, and Hepher of 3 years old. For by the mounting up of Lehith, with weeping shall they go it up. For in the way of Horonaim, they will raise up a cry for destruction. Now, these are a lot of words we don't understand. I understand that. For the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate, for the hay is withered away, the grass faileth, there is no green thing. Therefore, the abundance they have gotten, and that which they have laid up, shall they carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling therefore unto Eglaim, and the howling therefore unto Beerlim. Beerlim, I guess you'd say that. For the waters of Dimon, that's D-I-M-O-N, shall be full of blood, and I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him that escaped of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. So these are all cities in Moab that are, and places that are to be made desolate. Let's see how long. 16 is not that long. I believe we can get through it. We have a bit more time. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land of Selah, to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughters of Zion. For it shall be that, as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so shall the daughters of Moab be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadows as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcasts, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceaseth. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore shall Moab howl for Moab. Everyone shall howl, for the foundations of Kiharath-seth shall ye mourn, surely they are stricken. For the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibma, and the lords of the heathen have broken down the principal plants thereof. They are come even unto Jazer. They wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. Therefore I will bewail with the weeping of Jazer, the vine of Sibma. I will water thee with my tears, O Heshbon and Elilah, for the shouting of thy summer fruits, and for thy harvest is fallen. And gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field, and in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. Wherefore my bowels shall sound like an harp for Moab, and mine inward parts for Kirharesh. And it shall come to pass, when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that he shall come to the sanctuary to pray, but he shall not prevail. This is the word of Yahweh and what he had spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now Yahweh hath spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of an hireling, and the glory of Moab shall be contemned with all that great multitude, and all the remnant shall be very small and feeble. Now that's a lot of interesting things there, and maybe we don't understand. I don't understand everything there because I'm not that well versed with Moab and the names of the places in Moab, but the father is. See, he's even concerned in the other lands, you know. Obviously, that Moab, I believe, was one of the cities that came out of the sin of Lot and his daughters. So therefore, it was It's interesting. Those people would still be white, wouldn't they? So who can tell who is of Moab today? Right? Right. So next time we'll go and we'll start on Isaiah chapter 17. I like going through this book. I think a lot of people haven't really read through it, and a lot here we will understand, and there's some things we will not understand. We have seen in here that Ephraim has gone against Judah earlier, and we will see more about this later. And so we come to the end of yet another show. I stand on the rock, I stood on the rock, and I'll stand on the rock. I'm there to stay. How about you, ladies and gentlemen? I believe you will. And you'll be wise to do that. Don't let anything shake your tree. Don't let any of the storms blow you off the rock into the quicksand. Stand firm. Believe in the Father. Fear Him. Respect Him. Think of Him in the times of good and the times of bad. Never forget Him. Thank Him all the time. Don't wait for Thanksgiving to thank Him. It's wonderful to have the Father and to be able to count on Him, to know Him, especially when we live in the world that we live in. He makes up for all that evil filth. Nobody told us it was going to be that easy, but I know that His burden is light. It's just easier to do His will in the beginning than to try to be a rebel. That's another thing before I go, that the man of the world is a rebel. And for some reason, men of the world and heroes of the world like to be rebels. But the name rebel is, it's a very infamous character. In the world, he's famous, but in the kingdom, he's infamous. For to rebel is the wrong way to go. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.